Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stand. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news, and what a show we've got for you this morning. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's 200 million rescue plan for Manchester United. And what I love about this channel is, and I will be answering the question, if you're watching That's Football last night, I got asked a fantastic question at the end of the show and I said I'd bring it in at the start of the show this morning. And basically somebody said, if you were a billionaire owner of Manchester United, would you keep Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as your manager? So I will answer that question. I love this community because they do ask different questions. But what I also love about this community as well is that we do have a community that is realistic. I see some people talking about Haaland over the last few weeks, big outlets, other United fan channels, whatever, and they're selling you a lie. They're selling you a story. They're selling you a bit of PR spin. Whereas in the main, I think most people over the last couple of weeks, when there's all been stories about Haaland, everyone's gone, this is bullshit, we can't do this deal, for many reasons. But we'll be breaking things down this morning in relation to a big story that's coming around Erling Haaland and Manchester United, but also Manchester United summer, what is likely to lie ahead. There's also stuff coming out about Koundé, a few other things as well, about who Manchester United, Athletic article talking about who Manchester United are looking to sell. Very, very interesting stuff. Mark, please could you wish my daughter a happy first birthday, much love from South Africa, says Mohammed. Happy birthday to your daughter. I mean, I don't know whether she'll understand at one, but happy birthday. Hope she has a good day, and you and your family as well. But this story is coming out this morning. Loving player of the season voting, says Salah Ahmed. Yeah, I need to drop the link in the video description for that. It's on unitedstand.com. We've got player of the season ratings so far. It's on unitedstand.com if you want to do that. You know, like we do the player ratings. Anyway, let's start off with this story. Now, it's coming out of ESPN. But there's a lot of logic to this. Effectively, Dortmund have whacked $150 million price tag on Erling Haaland this summer. 180 million euros. It's probably a little bit more than 150 million pounds. Which feeds into the headline, which Solskjaer's 200 million pound demand. If you are to believe, and look, it's coming out, it's constant, it's everywhere. It's not coming from the Star and the Sun. This is coming from people who've got links in with Manchester United Football Club. Now, I'm not saying Man United are feeding it out, but it's out there. You've seen it. It's coming in from lots of different sources. It's been mentioned by lots of credible sources in the UK that Solskjaer wants Haaland. Well, £150 million for Haaland and £50 million for a centre-back. £200 million for two players. Manchester United haven't got £100 million, let alone £200 million. And we are being spoon-fed this nonsense. And it's a nonsense. And I'm calling it out this morning. It's a bloody nonsense that we are being linked to Haaland. And unfortunately, some of our fan base is swallowing that nonsense. Wake up and smell the coffee. Not because it's the morning show, but because it's the reality show. We are not getting Erling Haaland. Why are we even being linked to him? Why is this story there? The only benefit can be PR spin and bullshit. Like, how are we signing Erling Haaland? It's the same club that spun us around like a prat in a wind tunnel last summer. Oh, we want Sancho. We can even speak a bit of French. He's priority numero one. Jadon Sancho. And what happened? We want 120 million. Oh, they'll buckle. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And Dortmund are the same club that had Sancho, and they will want 150 million because you know what? He's actually worth 150 million. This is the great thing. He's actually worth 150 million. Like, if any player is worth 150 million, it's Mbappe and it's Haaland at the moment. So where are we getting 150 million pounds anyway? God no. Imagine Ed Woodward phoning up the Glazers. Yeah, we're looking at a striker. We need 150 million. Yeah, Ed, I think it's a bad line. I heard 150 million. I still think it's a bad line. I think you said 15 million. I'll think about it. No, it's 150. Are you still there? 150. Yeah, we ain't getting 150 million. And we shouldn't be spending 150 million on a bloody striker anyway. Anyone with a brain knows that we don't need a striker. So, effectively, what we're waking up to this morning is that if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer gets the striker that he wants and a centre-back, he needs £200 million. Oh my days. Can we move on from this story, please? Can we get some intelligence in the media about this Haaland story? Because it feels, you know what it feels like? It feels like fantasy. It just feels like I'm living in a bloody fantasy nightmare. We can't get this player. We never were going to get this player. But we're not getting this player. We shouldn't get this player. and we can't get this player. And what Dortmund have done is what Dortmund did with Sancho last year. They know there's a lot of interest. You whack. I mean, look, what is the loss for Dortmund on this? They want him to stay for another year anyway. They'll get 70 million next year from the release clause. All right, you know, you could take 100 million this year, but the difference between not having Haaland and having Haaland, is it worth the 30 million for a team like Dortmund anyway? But the point is, they also know a lot of clubs want him this summer. So you set the price high and you see who takes a nibble. And that's what they're going to do. And, you know, 150 million, I think it's a fine price, to be honest with you, for Haaland. And we know that Manchester United won't do that. And to get Haaland and a centre-back would, like I say, cost £200 million. So I just think we're not going to stop hearing about Haaland. Of course we're not. But I despair at it. I don't know why there is constant obsession with certain media outlets in the UK about Manchester United and Haaland. It's like they're treating you like idiots. They're basically treating you like idiots. And I hate having to discuss it because obviously it's a news show, so I have to discuss it. But they're treating me like an idiot and you like an idiot because this deal can't happen. And yeah, I'm mocking United. Of course I am, because they might do it. But they won't do it. They can't do it. And actually, they shouldn't do it anyway. If we spent £150 million on Haaland, I would be not happy. Because I'd be like, oh my God, we actually have got £150 million and we've spent it on one player. We need three players. So yeah, look, I think Erling Haaland's a fantastic player. We haven't got that amount of money anyway. But if we spent that amount of money on one player, I'd actually be fuming because I'd be like, oh my God, we are run by people who actually think one player is going to make us a good team, and it won't. Mark, this upcoming transfer window will be the same as the last 16, pure fantasy. Why some people are running the clubs, says Kimber. Well, I personally think that this transfer window is going to be a challenge. I do think it's going to be a challenge. I don't think we're going to be spending much money. Very interesting article from The Athletic, actually. They're listing out that the players that Manchester United are going to look to sell. I want to talk about the centre-back situation. Are you in the 90% club that it's not happening, Rob McCormick? I don't do percentages anymore, Robert. 150 million with 1 year left. Is Pogba 100 million then, says Duncan? Well, no, he hasn't got 1 year left on his contract. His release clause kicks in next year at 70 million, so it's very different, isn't it? Pogba can just go for nothing in a year. Man United should follow other teams that wait for a year, wait for the year a player's release clause kicks in. If United have 150 million plus, should buy Sancho, Varane and Rice, as Chris Pankhurst. Well, look, looking at money that United are going to raise, the Athletic say that Lingard and Dalot are the two players Manchester United are most likely to sell. I think we'll do well to get 30 to 40 million for them. At a push, we'll get 40 million. Lingard's got 1 year left on his contract and Dalot's a bit shit, to be honest. So I think we'll do well to get 30, 40 million for those. 40 million top end, 30 million bottom end for Lingard and Dalot. I mean, you know, Lingard should go. 100% he should go. Definitely. But then they list other players. Romero will go, which will free up 100k a week. Well, he should have gone last summer, so we've wasted... how many years in a month? 5.2 million we've wasted on Romero. That's efficient use of our business again, isn't it? Romero's not been anywhere near the first team for a year. A whole season we've had... I mean, it's this level of incompetence that doesn't get called out because they hide it. Oh, we'll hide that. We're doing a great job. We're heading in the right direction. Hide it. Hide it. Put it in the boot. The journey's great. It's a great journey. And Ollie's at the wheel and we're putting the petrol in. Have you seen what's in the boots? Can you just pull over, sir, and let me see what's in the boot? No, you don't want to look in the boot. I do want to look in the boot. Let me have a look in the boot. In the boot of this journey, Romero. He's alive. Nothing sinister like that. Romero's in the boot on not being used. You're not going to use him, are you? He's just sat there on 100 grand a week. Well, 100 grand a week is 5.2 million a year. I don't think he's on 100 grand a week, by the way. I think he's on about 80, but it's still over £4 million we've spent on a player that's not part of our bloody squad. He's not played any football. And they're trying to say, well, when you're not to get rid of Romero, that saves them 100 grand a week. No, they've just wasted 100 grand a week for a year. He's not even bloody used. Haaland picked Dortmund over his. We should snub him, says Michael Kelly. So Romero will go in the summer. Mata, they've not decided about giving him another year. I think they'll give Mata another year. 140 grand a week Mata's being paid. He's not being played. And they'll keep him because removing him means they've got to replace him. So I think Mata will stay even though he should go. Phil Jones, they want to go, but they don't think anyone will buy him. Well, that's probably the most adept bit of analysis United have done in a long time. Shouldn't give him a five-year deal. De Gea, they feel there's a story that De Gea, the problem with De Gea is the wages, 375k a week, but they think PSG might do it. I don't think PSG will do it. I don't think PSG is going to give us £50 million for David De Gea and then pay him 350 grand a week. I don't think that's going to happen. And with Anthony Martial, he's not for sale either because there's not going to be many takers who want to pay him 250k a week. Well done, they're not. I said this morning about Anthony Martial, and I don't know where people think about this, but and I'm going to answer the billionaire question. Don't worry, I'm not moving it. I'll do that next before we move on to other things. Basically, I was asked the question last night on That's Football Watch Along with England. If you were the billionaire owner of Manchester United, would you keep Solskjaer? And I said, that's a horrible question, but I'm going to bring it in on the morning show because, you know, you can't do this sort of thing and then not answer difficult questions. So I will answer that one, and I'd be interested to see what you would say. I know what some of you would say. But on Anthony Martial, a lot of people this morning, I tweeted it, there'll be a lot of people not happy this morning that Man United are not going to sell Anthony Martial. But we're not playing FIFA and we're not playing Football Manager. And I think this feeds into Erling Haaland for me. I love this channel because I think there's so much realism in it. In the comment sections, in the live comments, people are realistic. They know that we need a centre defensive midfielder. They know we need a centre back. They know we need a striker, but not £150 million. You can't spend all the budget and next year's budget on one player. What if he gets injured? You know, he's not going to get the service. So there's a lot of intelligence within this community that we have, and I love it for that. But I also think that on Anthony Martial, there are people that don't want him here. They don't want him here anymore. I've noticed that this year. There is a clear divide between Martial. There's people like myself who like him, and I think he's had a bad season for numerous reasons, some of them his own fault. You know, I've said he's been shit this season. I still think there's a very good player in there, and I still think he's our player, and I want to see him being last season's player next season. I think our strikers this season are under, you know, they're grave diggers. They're doing the graveyard shift. They're not. There's nothing happening. Our way of playing is focus on a clean sheet with a back six at the neglect of our forward line, and we've not been anywhere near as creative as we should be. But Martial's not played well. But the problem is that you can't just get rid of Anthony Martial. Like, last year, you know, some people don't agree with me. I think that last season he was heading towards an £80 million player. 24, player of the year, lots of goals. This year, he's halved that. He's a £30 to £40 million player on 250 grand a week. You can't offload Anthony Martial unless you take a massive, massive financial hit. United won't do that. So Martial's not going to go anywhere unless Martial knocks on Ollie's door and says, I want to go. And in which case, I wouldn't be giving Solskjaer a new contract. I'd be pulling him into my office and saying, hold on a minute, you've got a player here who's on 250k a week, who last year was worth £60 to £80 million, who is now worth half of that and wants to leave. I'm sorry, Ollie, it's not all singing and dancing, ring a ring of roses with your mates. It's not. It's got to be more than that. You've got to manage problems. And I've got a problem now as the owner of this football club that there's a very big asset who has lost his asset value massively over the last year and now wants to leave. How does that help me help you when I've got to potentially let a player go at a huge financial loss and then you want me to spend £150 million on somebody? I'm sorry, from a financial point of view, get out my office and have a think. And that's the side of management that people don't look around. It's all fine and well playing your favourites. But what about the owner who has to deal with, or the chief executive, Donny van der Beek, Anthony Martial, Telles, Eric Bailly, all these players who have a value that's dropping because they've not been picked and they're not happy? That's what people never look at, because it's always, oh yeah, everything's great, we're second in the league, we're playing really well. But there's a lot of disruption in that squad. And the trouble with the disruption is there's a drop in value there. So Manchester United will and cannot let Martial go at the moment unless he kicks up a fuss himself. It doesn't make any sense and will make a loss, a massive loss. And we're not Chelsea and we're not Man City. I think if we were Chelsea and Man City, and this goes back to the ownership again, if you're Chelsea and Man City, you probably get rid of Martial. You say, look, now's the time to go. We'll take a hit and we'll spend some money on this. But we're a football club that doesn't take hits. We don't do that. You know, Phil Jones is still at this club. So getting rid of Deadwood or whatever it is, we're not very good at it. So you've got to be a little bit realistic about that. Hi, Mark. Would you take Calvert-Lewin at United, assuming Cavani leaves? Great box striker, also has pace and great in the... I'd love Calvert-Lewin, but we're not going to have the money to do that. We linked with strikers because Martial's not good enough, says Robert McCormack. Well, Robert, I hope that you understand what I'm saying there. It's got nothing to do with his talent. We're not a football club that can do what Chelsea and Man City do, which is take a loss on a player and then spend big on another player. We're a business, and we all know this. Do you think Manchester United Football Club is going to let Anthony Martial go at a massively reduced fee and then spend a load of money on a new one? That's not going to happen. So people need to get realistic to this Martial thing. Not going to happen. The best thing that could happen with Martial, if he decides he wants to go, and it will be down to him, if Martial puts a smile on his face and says, I don't want to go anywhere, he'll be here next season. United have got no desire to sell Martial. There is a desire within the fan base, but not within the club. It only changes if Martial walks into the office and says, I want to go. In which case, you've got to try and let him go. And if he does go, I think the best thing we could do is a swap deal, because that way you hide the depreciation in value. Haaland is a generational talent. Of course, we need him. We haven't got a striker who can score over 25 goals a season, and we never replaced Lukaku, says Yo Dude. But mate, I would describe you as the sort of fan that's not engaging your brain. And I don't say that in a nasty way. I say it in a truthful way. What are you talking about? We need Erling Haaland. Have you actually just tuned in the last 30 seconds? Where are we getting £150 million from? And why do you think signing a striker with our whole budget is beneficial to building a football team at United that plays a back six and doesn't create chances? What is the point in putting Lewis Hamilton in a go-kart and asking him to race a Ferrari? Like, that's what you're doing with Erling Haaland. You're putting him into a team that doesn't create chances. And we don't create chances. Tell me how many chances our strikers have missed this season. Clear-cut chances. Number 9 has missed this season. And you will do it on one hand across a whole season. You should be missing 2 or 3 chances a game at a top club. Not at Manchester United. We, you know, there has been chances missed by Cavani. There has been chances missed by Martial. But they're few and far between because we don't create many chances at this football club. Now, I'll answer this question now before we talk about Koundé and a few other things, and Eric Bay and Garner and McTominay and everyone else like that. I was asked a question last night. If you were a billionaire owner of Manchester United, oh, I wish. But let's say that wish came true, or the wish came true for you. You're the billionaire owner of Manchester United and you come in this summer. Woodward and Glazers are gone. Yeah, they're sacked, definitely. But you're in charge, right? You've got a new competent sporting director / chief executive who actually knows things about football. And they walk into the office and they go, right, day one, all this money, loads of money coming into the club. We're going to run it properly. Not like it's been for the last 15 years. But the big question is, what are you going to do with the manager? You're a billionaire owner. You're rich. You're rich. You can run this club properly. What are you going to do with the manager? Goldbridge ponders. Because I'm not dealing today, am I? Today, Solskjaer deserves a contract in the summer. We're second in the league. If I'm a billionaire owner of that football club and we're going to run it properly, it's bye-bye, Ollie. To be honest, yes, it is. And I know that sounds really harsh, but you're putting me into a fantasy situation here where I can go and get the very best. And it's bye-bye Carrick, bye-bye Phelan, bye-bye McKenna, bye-bye Fletcher, bye-bye Murta, bye-bye Ollie, and probably half that squad. You know, Lindelof, McTominay, Fred, Matic, Mata. You know, it's not just Ollie. You're asking me if I'm the owner of that football club and we're being run properly. Of course, I'm going to get the best I can get. I'm going to get the best manager. I'm going to get the best coaching network around him. I'm going to get a top quality sporting director. And we're going to get rid of the crap in that team as well. So, yeah, of course I would. I mean, I don't even know why I pondered. I mean, it's probably because guilt, because it's not a reality. And I like Ollie and I want him to succeed and I want everyone to succeed. But come on. If you are rich and you are owning that football club, you're going to get the best, aren't you? Let's be honest. Why is De Gea on a list of players that could be sold to Salah Ahmed? Because people want a new toy, don't they? They've turned their back on David De Gea. I'm not going to get involved in it, Salah. They've turned their back on him. So let them deal with the consequences. Mark, Lewis Hamilton would beat Ferrari at the moment. They're shockingly slow, says Mitchell Wetton. What, with a pedal go-kart against an engine? Yeah, if it breaks down, they probably would. Daniel Stokes says, no CDM who can pass, no centre-back we can rely on, no creativity right-winger, and we're linked with a striker. Can someone please wake up our board? Ollie probably gone by December, says Daniel. But you know what? On a flip side, what if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says, the only thing I want is Erling Haaland? You know, we blame the board because they're incompetent, but you don't know what's on Solskjaer's list. Mark, ongoing debate with my dad over transfer priorities. He's convinced that priority should be at the front, that they are too lazy and do not chase the ball down, which puts pressure on the back. Sam. Well, it's all about opinion, Sam. It's interesting. I do not think, in my opinion, that United are failing because our front players are lazy and therefore the defence is getting swamped. I mean, look, there is no way that Cavani is lazy. He runs around more than anybody and he's our first choice number nine. So I don't agree with that. Ernie says, hey, Mark, great show. My bro-in-law introduced me to you. Can you show him some love? It's his birthday and don't worry, he's not a prat. Can't have a beer with him today. But can do a super chat. Happy birthday to Teschel. That's from Emil. So happy birthday, Teschel. Have a good day, mate. Judge goes to, I clear Deadwood, McFred, Varane, Rice, Camavinga, Sancho, Maguire, loses armband and has till January to prove he should stay, says Gabriel Noel. Marcy, I'll be back next season. You don't just randomly become shit, says Daniel Kirk. Well, I do hope that happens with David De Gea, Anthony Martial, but we'll see. I mean, as I said before, I actually think that this summer's going to be chaotic and we could come out of it in a worse situation. Definitely we could. I'm hoping we're going to come out in a more positive situation. But as a, you know, Nicky Butt's walked away. He's working within that club and he's walked away. I don't think people are putting two and two together quick enough with this one. Nicky Butt has walked out on Man United because he's not happy with the changes. He's worked there for years. Again, it's like, how much of a grip have Manchester United got over the media? Or how naive is the actual media? That's there's two questions there. Because I don't necessarily think United are feeding it out about Haaland. And maybe it's the media. I don't know. But I do think Nicky Butt walking out on the club is far, far, far bigger statement than somebody on social media going Ollie out. You know, because he works at the club and he's gone, I don't like this. This isn't going where I want it to go. I think that's huge. Assuming we get Rice, I'm afraid Ollie would play Scotty with him. Personally, I'd prefer Donny in there. Maybe even Bruno there with Donny at 10, says Manav. I had people last night tagging me in that Scott McTominay was man of the match for Scotland. I was like, oh my God, what relevance is this? How is this relevant to me? You know, it's like Usain Bolt when he used to win the 100 meter sprint, right? He absolutely smashes some Scottish runner, right? And then he gets an email saying, well, you know what? Last night, I had a running race on my street and Dorothy, I battered her. She can barely walk and I smashed her in a race, not in any other way. It's like, I don't really care what McTominay does for Scotland. I care what he does in a red shirt. Come and talk to me when he's man of the match for Manchester United. And people will go, well, he was against Leeds. Oh, we're living in 2020 now, are we? Or we're living in 2021? Like, I have watched Manchester United for the last few weeks and Matic, McTominay and Fred have been bordering on embarrassing. Why do I care if he plays well for Scotland? I guarantee he probably played in a more freer role for a start because he's a box-to-box player and he's not a CDM. But really, I don't even need to check because it's not Manchester United. I couldn't give two shits what people do on international duty because realistically, do we get any stats for that? Do we get any points for that? It's about Manchester United. We've got a massive 2 months and a massive next season to come. I don't think some of these players are good enough. And, you know, international appearances or not, you know, they're not good enough. You know, who's Fred playing for in the international break? Best case scenario with Haaland is that Real Madrid or Barcelona get Haaland and we get Benzema or Griezmann on a bargain, says Savish. And Mark, the fans and the club need to stop putting Ollie in no-win situations. Let him succeed. There's been changes and no manager would be... There's been changes and no manager would be above Man City, says Michael Vieira. Our board is giving Ollie a new contract now because the teams around us are doing bad. The incompetence is shocking. Should wait till May, like you said, says Mohamed. No, to be fair, the board are giving Solskjaer a new contract because he ticks the box. He ticks the box. There's two sentences here why Manchester United are giving Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a new contract. One, he's got top four twice, which has never been done, and that's all they want. And two, he is the absolute perfect buffer between you and the Glazers, and that's what it is. Solskjaer is a club legend that everybody likes, and he absolutely is the buffer to the criticism that the Glazers and Woodward get. They won't remove that buffer, because no matter what happens, and this is why they're saying trophies don't matter, because there will never be a big enough outrage from the fans while Solskjaer is manager. He protects the Glazers and the board, and they're not stupid. And from their side, it's a dream ticket, because they're protected by this legend, and they're also getting top four, which is what all they want. Top four is all they want. They'd love to. I'm not saying they don't want to win the league, and I'm not saying they don't want to win the Champions League, but they only want to win it within the spending parameters that they set. They don't want to spend. They're not obsessed. They're not like Man City or a Chelsea. They're not like, we will spend the money to win the league, and that's what we demand. To be honest with you, when you think about it, the more ruthless football clubs are the ones that spend more money. You look at PSG, you look at Manchester City, and you look at Chelsea. Their rotation of managers is more than us. Their spend is more than us, because they are obsessed with being number one. And if you're obsessed with being, the more you want to win, the more ruthless you become, is basically what I'm saying. It's a double-edged sword if you're not that club, if you're an Arsenal or a Manchester United, because you spend to win, and therefore you expect to win. And when you don't win, you are ruthless in relation to the players and the managers that failed. If you don't spend to win and you just want top four and you get top four, you are more amenable to that manager that does that. The standards drop and it gets appreciated, basically. So if Tuchel doesn't win the Premier League in the next 2 years, he will be sacked, and you know that will happen. Even if they come second twice, they will be sacked because they want first place. If Solskjaer gets second, third for the next 4 years, he will still be here, because the board will be like, well, he's keeping the fans away from us. The fans can't turn on him because he's getting top four, and we're getting top four without spending a lot of money. And that's the problem at Manchester United now, is that Sir Alex Ferguson defied the Glazers by winning titles without much input from the board in relation to financial backing. There was a bit, but not much. And that's continued now. So they're very happy with Solskjaer because he protects them. And he provides them with... And as we've said many times before, the board only spend money when we're in the Europa League. If you go back the last few years, our big spends have been when we've just failed to qualify for the Champions League, because they don't want 2 years in the Europa, because a lot of our sponsorship deals drop if you're out of Champions League for 2 years. We are a business. We are a business, people. Look at those things. Look at the blueprint. Look at the fine terms and conditions. We spend money when we've got a season of the Europa League ahead of us. When we've got a season of Champions League, the spend will drop because the money's coming in. Hi, Mark. Love this channel and the work you do. What percentage of blame would you put on each manager, coaches, owners and directors at the club, says Craig. Please smash a like on the video, by the way. What percentage of it would I put on? I mean, look, there's always going to be shared blame from top to bottom. And I think that there's been a huge amount of blame goes on the board and the owners, of course, because they recruit the managers. They are involved in the recruitment of the players. And I think when you look at the last 8 years, both those things have been abysmal. So the main blame is that. I suppose the easiest answer is, if you go back to the new owner scenario, if you brought in a new owner who wanted to be successful, who was obsessed with being number one, then these mistakes would stop happening, because they wouldn't make the same mistake twice, because they'd be obsessed with being number one. There's always going to be mistakes. Chelsea make bad signings. Man City make bad signings, but they rectify those mistakes very, very quickly. By the way, links in the video description if you want to get one of these. They're out now. We've got a new collection of mugs. You can get it in the red, you can get it in the black, and we've got some of the t-shirt designs as well. So they're out this week, and the link's in the video description for those. Why buy Haaland when we have Mason Greenwood, says Akshat. And what about Sancho, says John. I think Sancho will be the player that leaves Dortmund this year, actually. But I just want to talk about Koundé, because one of his teammates has been talking about Koundé and saying that, you know, no one knows what's going to happen with him in the summer, but there will be a lot of people after him. I think Koundé is going to be a big, big deal for Manchester United to try and pull off. But he was playing for the under-21s last night, as was Badashil, and some people were talking about Badashil. And I think that Look, I like Badashile, and in many ways, he's a better fit because he's taller, which some people are worried about. He is quick. He's also left-footed. The problem with Badashile is, and the reason I'd be excited if we got Badashile, but I'd also be very concerned if we got Badashile, is that 100%, if we sign Badashile, he ain't going to go straight into the team. You know he's going to end up like Amad Diallo. It's going to be, we've got this really good talent, but we're not going to use it. We're going to stick with Maguire and Lindelof. And that to me, and this is only my opinion, that to me is one of the key factors in what Man United do around centre-back. I want a centre-back that is better than Maguire. I want a centre-back that Maguire becomes the understudy. I don't want a centre-back that comes in and has to work his way into the team. Because we've already got Badashile. And his name's Axel Tuansebe. So I get it. I was excited about being linked to Badashile last summer, and I do like him. But this summer, I don't really want him. Not because he's not a good player, but because we've already got Tuansebe, who I think is a very good centre-back that has not been used. I mean, it irritates the shit out of me, to be honest with you. It really irritates me how blind our coaches are to giving people game time who deserve it. Whether it's Van der Beek, whether it's Amad Diallo, whether it's Axel Tuansebe. These even Brandon Williams at right-back. I mean, Aaron Wan-Bissaka's not been that great this season. So why would you play him every single game? Why would you not give Brandon Williams a game or two? So I think that, and I'm sure Brandon Williams thinks exactly the same. A year ago, he was playing first team football, battling it out with Luke Shaw. He can't get any game time now. So I like Badashile. I'm just terrified of us buying that sort of a player because the future never happens. It's always in the future. So I want a player that comes in and plays from the start. And I don't think Badashile would do that. But I just want that just something reminds me in my head as well. I saw some quote yesterday about Solskjaer's contract. And it was that something along the lines of the board are... I can't remember what the exact word was, but it was something like the board are... definite, 100% committed to this future project. Something like that. It was about, you know, they're sure that they're on the right path for future success. And it irritated me because I thought, you know what? This was said 2.5 years ago. Solskjaer got his contract 2 years ago, nearly to the day that Solskjaer got his contract 2 years ago. Why 2 years ago is the same thing being said? And are we not just being played as idiots again? 2 years ago, they were talking about future planning. We're 2 years down the line and they're still talking about future planning. Do you know how long 2 years is? Well, it's 2 years. But do you know how long 2 years is in football? It's massive. It's not like 2 years in real life. 2 years in football is huge. You know, look at what Brendan Rodgers achieved at Leicester in 2 months. Look at what Tuchel's achieved in 2 months. Totally rejuvenated a squad, playing totally different football, looking like one of the best teams in Europe within 2 months, halfway through a season. So 2 years and we're still saying the same thing. 2 years, we're still not playing like United. 2 years, we're still playing counter-attacking football. 2 years, the team is still 3 or 4 players away. 2 years and we're still miles off winning a title. 2 years and we're still talking about another 2 years. I don't know how they're getting away with that. I'm talking about the board here. This constant sell of the future. And yet the evidence is there that you don't need 2 years. You don't need 2 years. Like 2 years is probably the average of a Premier League lifespan of a manager in relation to post. So, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but I just saw it yesterday. I was like, this ain't 2 months. This is 2 years. He's been full-time in post for 2 years. 2.5 years as interim, but I'll forgive the I'll forgive the 6 months or whatever it was as the interim. Although that gets included when it suits them because they like to use the interim bit because his results were so good. But it is 2 years officially and they're still talking about future planning. And I just think scary, really scary because football, 2 years is a long time in football. And to still be in the same boat we were 2 years ago, talking about 2 years. And look, we're not in the same boat, of course. We're second in the league 2 years ago. We weren't. There are things that are better about the club than they were 2 years ago. Of course they are. But as I always say, let's not forget about whether you've revamped the canteen or you've got different grass at Carrington, the reality is the most important thing that you measure a success of a football club is what you're doing on the football pitch and how you're playing on a football pitch. And 2 years later, are we playing better football on the football pitch? No. Are we in a better position in the league? Yes. But we can't keep talking about the future. You've got to start... the future never comes, says Neil Fish. You've got to start achieving. Just a little bit of an update on Eric Bay. Apparently talks are on hold, according to some outlets. And also, very interesting, in the Mirror, they said that Eric Bay was very frustrated about the AC Milan game, that he's been fit to play when the manager has suggested otherwise. So I don't know what that means, but there seems to be an issue around Eric Bay. Obviously not very happy about not playing games, but now there's even these rumours that Eric Bay's not been included in the match day squad when he was fit. So, you know, what is going on? And I've said this before, and I think a few people have, this perception that everything's rosy at Manchester United. They do a great job at making it out, but quite clearly there are a few cracks there. There's definitely a story with Eric Bay. I don't think Martial and Van der Beek and Twan Sebi and probably Brandon Williams, you know, I don't know, but I wouldn't imagine they're very happy at how much they've been used this season. Pogba, as we know, wants to leave. There may be a few earthquakes this summer. I think people think we're going to get the polyfiller out and we're going to fill these cracks and finally go for a title next season. I think the cracks might get bigger. And those cracks might get so big, certain people might fall into those cracks. So let's see what happens. Do you think Ollie signs a new contract without some demands, says Odin? Yeah. Please subscribe, by the way, bottom right-hand corner. We're getting close to 100. We're getting close to 11,000. I've got to be consistent. I said when Solskjaer got the job 2 years ago, my concern was that Solskjaer, this is a dream. This is a dream, right? You know, imagine whatever job you do now, imagine you were offered your dream job right here, right now. Someone rings you up and says, I've got your dream job. Would you sit there and go, I'll only take it if you give me a ridiculous wage? And they go, bye. You know, if it's your dream job, you're going to take it for reasonable money. I don't think when Solskjaer was offered that job 2 years ago, he said, I'll only take it if you give me £200 million to spend. Fine, fuck off, Ollie, we'll get Poch. You know, I don't think he was in that position because I think, like many of us, he was offered a dream job. He was Mulder manager and he was offered a massive job, an amazing job. I think Woodward could have said, it's your job, but you haven't got a hell of a lot to spend. But obviously, you know, he did get Maguire and he did get Wan-Bissaka, to be fair. But what I'm saying is, I don't think Solskjaer signs contracts and goes, I'm only signing it if you give me 200 million. Where's he going to go if they say, fine, you're off? Like, you know, let's be honest. Solskjaer, if he said, I want 200 million to spend and United went, well, you're not having it. We've got another manager that will come in and do it for 100 million. And they say goodbye and part ways. Where's Solskjaer going to go? He might get the Norway job. He might get Mulder job back. But he ain't going to get a job in the Premier League. And he's certainly not going to get a job as big as Man United. So they have got Solskjaer in a position where, you know, Solskjaer has to keep them happy because he can't demand. He's not in a position to demand. And, you know, he's certainly not Sir Alex Ferguson. And even Sir Alex Ferguson couldn't get money out of the Glazers that much. So, yeah, those scenarios are a little bit fanciful, aren't they? But look, you know what? The international break is always going to be about this sort of thing, isn't it? The international break, the last international break before the end of the season, always becomes about transfers, always becomes about next season, always becomes about who needs to go, who needs to stay. So there's no, these conversations are all relevant, you know, whether you're Ollie in, Ollie out, whether you're pissed off with the board, whether you think we should be buying this player, that player. Ross Gunn says, thoughts on Marcus Llorente. Oh, I saw a story about that. Load of crap. We're not going to spend £80 million on a midfielder, unfortunately. Mark, I fear if we let Donny go, a repeat of De Bruyne could happen when he was at Chelsea, says John Richards. I agree with you on that one. I do. And I think that Van der Beek is a player that could be utilised a lot better. And what's for certain is Van der Beek, in fairness to Van der Beek, he cannot have a season like this again. He can't have a season where he doesn't play football. It would be ridiculous. It would be. Mark, do you think if Ollie gets full backing, can he get us back to winning ways, says Dia? I hope so. I hope so, but it's difficult. It's difficult. But I've quite enjoyed this international break so far. It's gone very quick. We're a week through it already, and we're going to be into next week very, very quickly, aren't we? So I'm quite enjoying it. But what? I want to say this. Ollie is in the same mould as Lampard, Southgate, Arteta, Parker, not going to lead any team to titles. I think Scott Parker's very good, Josh. I think Scott Parker's the best out of all those lot as a coach. I think he's done a fantastic job at Fulham, to be fair. I hope he keeps them up. I can see Ollie coaching Norway national team with Haaland and Odegaard. I think he will end up there at some point, yeah. Mark, at some stage, will you be doing your player ratings for the season so far live? Would be interesting to see your scores. Well, I'll do it live on the screen at 8 o'clock tonight. It's a great idea. That is an absolutely brilliant idea. I'll be doing my player ratings for the season so far, and I will get it on this 8 o'clock show tonight. So you can vote for yours on the United Stand, or I'll put the link on the show tonight for you to do it. But we will do that tonight as part of the 8 o'clock show, because the 8 o'clock show is always a bit of a chill, isn't it, on a Friday. But I just want to say this. I love this community. And Sam says, your channel helps the work day. Thank you. Sadly, this club will never be where we want it to be. I love this community, I love the realism, but I also love the fact that people disagree with things and have an opinion. And there will be people in the live comments who still think Haaland's a possibility. But let's hope the media now start to wake up and stop writing articles about United's priority being Erling Haaland. It really is stupid. It's like Ian Beale. If you've ever watched EastEnders, Ian Beale, right, he must be into his 60s now. He runs a chip shop. He thinks he's bloody Alan Sugar. He's an absolute prat. And it's like Ian Beale thinking he's going to marry. He's going to headhunt and marry, I don't know, one of the Kardashians, right? It's not going to happen. Why do we keep writing about it? Well, we don't, because it's not going to happen. So why are we writing about Manchester United's number one target being Erling Haaland? It's the most basic and amateurish journalism and reporting and discussion ever. But we have to keep talking about it because it's been mentioned a lot in the news, and it's a news show. But we're not signing him. We're not going to get him. We shouldn't even be linked to him. Dortmund are going to ask for 150 million as they should. Where are we going to get 150 million from? And if we, you know what? If we spent 150 million pounds on Erling Haaland, I think I'd lose my shit. I think I really would. I'd be like, oh my God. We've spent £150 million on Erling Haaland. And not in a good way. I'm not going to go, oh my God, we spent 150. No, I'll be like, we had 150 million and we spent it on Erling Haaland. 150 million. We could have got a top class centre back, a top class CDM and a right winger. And you spent it all on Erling Haaland, who's going to be gone in 3 years. What are you doing? What are you doing? And that's nothing against Erling Haaland. I think he's a brilliant player. There's only two players I think are worth 150 million at the moment, and that's Mbappe and Haaland. And considering we're in a COVID world, 150 million is last year's 200 million. So he's definitely worth 150 million. But I'm like, why would you spend that money on him? Why are we being linked to him? And why are Manchester United being mentioned about a player where there's 150 million? We ain't got that money anyway. So it's not going to happen on so many levels, and it just needs putting to bed. It's not going to happen. But it happens because it generates a good connection, doesn't it? But it's not real. It's not a real thing. Neymar as well. Yeah, sorry. Neymar as well. KC official, you're right. Anyway, please smash a like on the video, everybody. And make sure you subscribe, bottom right-hand corner. As a matter of interest, I've got quite a lot of content going on today. 8 o'clock show tonight on the United Stand, of course. We'll do that player ratings thing. I might be live again today on here if something happens in the afternoon. But just after midday, quarter past midday today, I've dropped the link in the video description, second paragraph. Fits in with England and Lingard. I think Lingard's a very interesting one. Luke Shaw, maybe Wan-Bissaka, Marcus Rashford. I'm doing a live, so it's interactive, so you'll be able to get involved. I'm doing a live England Euros 23 squad tier list. Who goes on the plane, who doesn't? And it's actually, I've been doing a bit of research about it this morning. It's actually going to be a really good show because you're going to have to leave out some pretty good players. You can't take all the number 10s. You can't. You just can't be done. So I'm not going to do too much research because I want to do it live. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, we'll be picking the England Euros 23 squad that Southgate should be taking. Just after quarter past 12 on Mark Goldbridge, that's football. The link's in the video description. It'll be a bit of fun. Probably be alive for about an hour because it's 23 and there's going to be a lot of discussion. So quarter past 12 today. I've dropped the link in the video description for it. It's below the link where you can get these bad boys or girls. They're not gender specific. Thanks everyone for watching. I'll speak to you later.